loud. Sorry. John chapter 15. We're going to continue in our series of abiding in Christ. We have two more weeks after this Sunday focused on abiding in Christ, specifically with our messages. And this morning is abiding in His precepts. Go ahead and stand with me in honor of reading God's Word. And while you're standing, we'll go ahead and dismiss the kiddos down to junior church and to their class for their time. John chapter 15, we've been reading this passage, or at least parts of this passage now, and it's good. The repetition can be beneficial for us. Hopefully, it becomes very familiar to the point where it becomes just memorized as well. But we'll start reading in verse 6. John chapter 15 and verse 6 says, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you again for just the opportunity of meeting here this morning. Lord, again, I know that many are coming with burdened hearts and troubled spirits for many reasons. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to just remove the distractions from our minds, from our hearts. Lord, that we would just hear what you have for us this morning from your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just meet with us in a special way. Lord, be with the kids downstairs. Be with their time. Father, again, meet with them as well. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon your message and your messenger this morning. Lord, again, I just ask that if there be any here who doesn't understand what it is to abide in Christ, having that relationship with Him, before they leave this place this morning, they would understand and come to you. Lord, if there be one who is struggling in that relationship, Lord, that they would get their heart where it needs to be before they leave this place as well. And we'll thank you in advance, Jesus, for what you're going to do. In your name, amen. You may be seated. The secret to joy for any people is to follow and abide in the principles and precepts of the Word of God. You say, Pastor, what's the word precept mean? I'm glad you asked. I looked it up. Precept simply means a command or principle intended especially as a general rule of action. So basically, a precept means three things that is not popular in our society today. A command, a principle, or a set of rules. And God has those for us in His Word. We don't always like them. They're not always comfortable. But I will say this morning, they are necessary for our growth. To obey the commandments of our Lord is not to lose freedom or liberty or to not be able to do what we want, but rather it helps us gain freedom and liberty. A nation which violates the Word of God will not prosper with real joy or happiness. If our country doesn't stay focused on the things that we need to, we're not going to continue to prosper. When a nation turns away from the Word of God, there will be sorrow and there will be violence and there will be anarchy in the land. I do thank God for the rich scriptural heritage that our nation was founded on. Patrick Henry, one of our founding fathers, if you will, says it cannot be stated too strongly or too loudly that America was founded by Christians with faith in Jesus Christ. John Quincy Adams said, the highest glory of the American Revolution is that we join together government with the principles of New Testament Christianity. Those men had it right. You see, this land has been founded on the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. And God has brought our country prosperity and joy and those different pieces that we so love and appreciate day by day. See, the more that we allow God's Word to be removed from the fabric of our society, the more we allow God's word to be removed from our day-to-day lives, we will see a land that will continue to lose that prosperity, continue to lose that joy and that happiness year by year, which we've already seen now for some years. A country cannot prosper when we neglect the teachings of the Word of God. Just the same as a country cannot prosper, neither can a family. A family that will not have joy when they reject the teachings of the Word of God, when they don't live by the precepts found in the Bible. When we fail to obey those commandments of Jesus Christ, and we fail to love as Jesus loved, we fail to care how Jesus cared, we fail to go out and do the things that Jesus commanded, we fail to do the things that Jesus instructed us to do. In our home life, joy drifts away from our families and problems begin to arise. Any Christian who neglects the commandments of Jesus Christ will find that the joy of the Christian life will evade them day after day if you're not abiding in the Word of God. Joshua, the book of Joshua, says it so well. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." In other words, if we're in the Word of God, if we're meditating in the Word of God, if we're obeying and applying the promises and the precepts and the commandments of the Word of God, then he says, "For then," did you catch it? "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success." You say, why isn't our country as prosperous as we used to be? Maybe you're very transparent and you're honest and you say, why isn't my family as prosperous as we should be? And I don't mean just financial prosperity. That's not it. That's a very small part of the pie, if you will. But you ask those questions, it goes right back to this principle. It goes right back to this commandment of God. If we're not in the Word of God, then we're not going to dwell where He wants us to be. When God's men and women obey the Word of God, they find liberty. They find prosperity and joy in the Christian life. Not saying that the Christian life is a cakewalk. That's not it at all. But if they disobey, if they fail to follow, they end up right back in the bondage of sin, right back to where they were at the beginning. As we abide in His precepts, there is an inner joy that springs up. As we abide in His commandments, why? Because we're being obedient to our Maker and to our Creator, then God can do a great work in us. This morning we're going to look at three products of abiding in His precepts. The first is this: abiding in His precepts proves our love for Jesus Christ. It proves our love for Jesus Christ. Turn back one or two pages to John chapter 14 and look at verse 15 with me. It's a very simple verse. It's a very short verse, but it's a very powerful verse. John chapter 14, verse 15. Who's speaking here? It's in red. That's Jesus. It's Christ. He says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." It's a pretty simple thing, right? I love when Jesus speaks for so many reasons. One of the reasons is he gives instruction. Oftentimes his instruction is so simple the youngest of child can understand it. It eliminates excuses as to why we aren't obeying. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oftentimes, preachers have to kind of twist arms and kind of give nudges and push people that very honestly, if there are people who love the Lord, those things should come naturally. It should be a desire we have to abide in Christ. It should be a desire that we have to follow what He has for us in His Word. It should be a desire we have to spend time with Him in prayer and to just join together our hearts with His. Jesus said, "If you love me, prove it." That's what He's saying. If you love me, prove it. How? By keeping my commandments. In John 14, look down at verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Verse 24 is very powerful. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. I want to ask this question this morning. And if you get nothing else this morning, I hope you get this. How is your love for God? How is your love for the Father? See, when we're obedient to Christ, we're literally, in being obedient, proving that we love Him. When in John 15, we see different references to the commandments of Jesus to His disciples, right? Commandments to the Christian. In the Old Testament, we have the Ten Commandments. And listen, they are still valid today, right? Some people say, oh, that's the Old Testament. We don't have to worry about it. No. The Ten Commandments are still valid today. And by the way, they are called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Right? That's kind of a common thing that people try to kind of put off is, oh, that's just a good... No. They're commandments for a reason. But in John 15, we start seeing some additional commandments, and they're not written as the Ten Commandments where, you know, 1, 2, 3, but rather their instruction, their precepts, their rules, their commandments beginning or focused towards the disciples. And then focus down towards us as believers. As a believer, one of the first commandments that God gives us is found in Matthew chapter 28, and that's to be baptized. Once we're saved, we're to be baptized. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. Our first commandment, once we're saved, is to be baptized. Why? It's not a matter of getting dunked under the water. Right? That's what we do. But rather the reason for it, the purpose in why we are instructed and commanded to do that, is that when we do that, we're showing the world, we're saying, listen, I love Jesus so much. I want you to understand what He did through His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's what's symbolized in baptism. And that's what's important for us to understand. But when we do that publicly, we're publicly telling everybody around, saying, listen, I love Jesus so much. I want to follow His commandment. Now, Christ goes on to share other commandments and other instruction throughout the New Testament and through much of Scripture. But we need to understand this. Every time we obey a command of Jesus, we show forth as a testimony of our love to Jesus. When we obey Him, we're showing everybody, whether they understand the why behind it or not, it's because we love our Heavenly Father. We see a life that we live is a display to the world. How we live our life every day, the words we speak, the things that we do are a direct reflection, not just upon us as people or us as our family, but it's a direct reflection on who we are as a Christian. You know somebody in the Bible who struggled with this? Was Peter. Turn to John chapter 21. Flip a few pages. I want you to see a few words here, a few phrases that Christ gives to Peter. It's ones that we're familiar with, but I think sometimes we miss something here. There's some things that sometimes can be lost in translation. This was somebody who was struggling. Peter was struggling in the area of loving service. John chapter 21, look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him again, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him again, feed my sheep. Something that is kind of lost in our modern day vernacular is the word love. You see, when Jesus used the word love, and in the Bible, there's three different words used for love. There's eros and agape and phileo. When Jesus is using the word love, He's asking about the agape love. But when Peter responds, every time he responds, he's responding in the phileo kind of love. Now, agape love is a deep sacrificial love. Phileo is more of that, I have a fondness for you. I have a fondness, more of that brother-to-brother kind of love. You say, well, what's that matter? Why does that matter, Pastor? Well, you see, understand, Jesus is saying, Peter, do you really love me? Peter says, yes. Jesus says, no, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter says, yes. But he's not saying, I love you beyond all measure. He's saying, I like you a lot. Right? He's saying, I like you, Jesus. You know what? A lot of us in here today have that same kind of fondness for Jesus Christ. We think, man, that Jesus, he's a good dude. He did a lot for us. I'm thankful for him. You say, well, that's kind of blunt. Well, that's how we act. You know what? Honestly, that's how oftentimes we live. We say we love Jesus, but we don't mean that agape love. Instead, we mean we have a fondness for him. You see, here's what Jesus was asking Peter for. And this is what Jesus asked every one of us for. He says, I want you to have an agape love. A love that will have you forsake the things of the world and go out and feed his sheep. You see, the agape love that Christ doesn't just ask for, but he commands, is that agape love. He wants us to have a love that we're willing to sacrifice. Lord, nothing else matters on this planet as much as you. God, nothing matters as much on this planet as much as it is to go out and share your good news. When we love the Lord with that kind of love, then his commandments aren't going to be grievous to us, right? It's not going to be painful. Giving of our time or our substance or loving our spouse as God commands or being in his house or being a separated Christian. You see, when we're abiding in his precepts, when we're following his commandments, his instruction, his rule for our life, when we're doing that, then it's not a painful thing. I'll be honest. Now, Roger this morning in Sunday school talked a little bit about time. Right? And we said Sunday, and I was talking with someone else this morning about time. And I said, I hate Sunday mornings. You say, but you're the pastor. I love all of Sunday once we get to church. Right? And once we get here and things are going. But that first couple hours, they can be painful, can't they? Right? If you've got kids or the car won't start or everything's icy or fill in the blank, they can be painful. And you think about those things and you struggle with them sometimes, and we all do. We all have different battles with them. But when you think about time, God, he is all-knowing. He's everywhere. One of his attributes is that peace. But you see, when we are really serving him, we're not going to feel like we're sacrificing time. You understand? Sometimes, for some of you this morning, it was a sacrifice for you to come to church. You know what I would tell you? You're struggling. Now, I don't mean sacrifice getting to church. That can be a sacrifice. But I mean sacrifice coming to church. In that case, you know what I would tell you? You're not following his precepts. Why? Because if we're abiding in them, if we're abiding his commandments, it doesn't feel grievous. It doesn't feel painful in our life. And it doesn't matter what the commandment is, whether it's time or giving or loving. When we're following him, it should come. And it should be a joy to do. Why? Because we're serving the Father. The issue is our heart toward the Lord. Our issue, and I'll go back to this, is our love towards the Lord. How is your love for God this morning? Do we agape love him? A lot of us today would fall in the same category as what Christ said in Luke 6. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What a question. Jesus is telling the people, listen, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't follow what I say. You don't do what I tell you to do. You don't follow my commands. You don't follow my precepts. You don't follow that which I've given you. He doesn't do it to be painful for us. He does it for our betterment. He does it for a blessing for our lives. Part of the problem is people today just want what Jesus gives, right? We love the promises of God. Oh, he promised he'll never leave me. For, man, that makes us feel good. And it should, because it's true, because it's his promise. But you see, a true disciple will also love the commandments. We'll also love the precepts, the rules that he gives us. And they're not going to be painful. Why? Because we have a desire to be closer to him. Turn back to John chapter 15 and look at verse 10. Just a page or two over. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, Jesus says, I've kept my Father's commandments so you could see my faithfulness and my example. Jesus says, listen, I did what the Old Testament tells. I stayed, I obeyed those things because I want you to see that it can be done. I want you to see that, listen, I love my Father and I'm going to obey just the same as what I'm telling you. I want you to obey. I want you to follow. Why? Because it's good for us. It'll help us. It'll help us to grow. As I abide in the precepts, I'm proving my love for God. Number two this morning is abiding in his precepts provides assurance in my heart regarding my relationship with God. Say, what's that mean, Pastor? Personal question for each one of us, but have we ever doubted God? Have we ever doubted perhaps our salvation? Have we ever doubted where will I go when I die? See, there's an assurance for someone who is keeping the commandments of God. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. It's not a question mark. It's not a, well, if you do this and this and this, then. No. If you keep his commandments, you're there. And it's not a matter of keeping salvation. That's not it. Please don't misunderstand me. Once we're saved, we're saved. But you see, abiding in his commandments, abiding in those things, helps bring assurance of who I am as a person in Christ. It helps me understand my position, if you will, as a Christian. And the stronger I am and the closer I am to God, the more mature I am as a Christian, those doubts are going to be much more fleeting. Those doubts are just going to go away. Each act of obedience on my part is going to deepen my walk, deepen my time with Jesus Christ, deepen my assurance of who I am in Christ. But you know what? Just the same, each act of disobedience, each time that I don't follow what God has for me, guess what? It's going to bring more and more doubt. It's going to hinder that relationship. It's going to cause me to doubt whether it be salvation or just the power of God in my life or just who I am as a Christian. Often someone who is doubting their salvation, they're involved in some sort of sin. They're struggling, they're fighting something. Sometimes it comes back to the simplicity of they're just not following the instructions of God. We won't doubt if we abide day by day in the commandments of the Word of God. You know, part of the problem is in the last 50 years, we've seen the disintegration of the family in our society today. In the last 50 years, the family is looked down upon. The father as the father figure has been just belittled and just mocked. And you can flip through TV and time and time again, when you see those different shows, what do? They're always putting down the father. They're always breaking down the importance of the family. It's gotten so bad that even when someone talks about God the Father, people don't know how to respond because they don't understand how to respond to a heavenly Father, to somebody who loves them, because they've been so brainwashed by society that they see the Father as somebody just a joke. You see, when you say God the Father, they connect the two. They connect the two and sometimes to the point where they even rebel simply because of God having that fatherhead figure. Sometimes we just don't feel saved. Why? Because they're not abiding in his commandments. Sin and disobedience, listen, will compound doubt. People who struggle with doubting their salvation, they doubt who God is, they doubt who they are in Christ, oftentimes is because they're so enveloped in sin and they're so opposite of the things of God, they just miss what matters most. They miss what God has for them. You see, obedience will bring blessed assurance. I love that song. You like that song? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm not going to sing it. Maybe we'll sing it this afternoon. We'll see. All right? But love that song. Why? Because it gives me assurance of who I am. Number one, of my salvation. It brings assurance of who God is in my life. Now listen, it's a song, and it's a good song, but understand, the scripture is what where the promise is at. Right? It's a scriptural, or it's a song, but it's a based upon a biblical fact. Say, how do you get assurance? Well, number one, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've got to understand and you've got to acknowledge Jesus Christ that He is the only way for salvation. Secondly, how do you maintain or continue with assurance? Is you follow His commandments. Now, I'm not saying that you follow His commandments in order to maintain salvation. That's not it. All right. Again, once saved, always saved. But when we're abiding in His precepts, when we're abiding in His commandments, when we're abiding in His instruction, it helps us be assured of who we are in Him. That we indeed are a new creature in Christ. That we are connected. That we are, that He is our Heavenly Father. Assurance builds maturity, obeying His commandments. John, 1 John chapter 2 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him. Did you catch it? Hereby, we do know that we know. You know what you know, right? We say that today. But then it says, if we keep His commandments. Do you want to know for sure who God is? Do you want to know who for sure God is in your life? Do you want to know for sure what God can do in your life? The instruction's there. It's simple. Obey. If you don't obey God, if you're drifting away, if you're not in His Word and you're not following His precepts and you're not doing what He tells us to do and you're drifting further and further away from God and then you say, I don't understand why. It's simple. You're not obeying. The song we sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Right? You say, it's just such a simple truth. It's such a simple piece. Even the kid can get it. Again, praise God for the simplicity of the truth of the Word of God. I know and I am assured of my relationship with Him simply by the fact that I am following in His commandments day by day. See, it's the assurance in my heart that provides the basis for spiritual maturity and growth. Let me give you an illustration. You have somebody who's confident one moment, and then not confident the next moment. Somebody who one day, man, they are just on spiritual, they're on fire, and the next day they're just cold. And you have somebody, they're in and out of the scripture, they're in and out of the Word of God, they're in and out of church, there's just no consistency there. See, the problem is, they're not abiding or applying. Then you have the second person to where they hear a message, and they go home and they apply that truth to their life. They say, God, how can I use this in my life to make me a better Christian? And someone who hears something in Sunday school and goes home and says, God, how can I use this in my life to make me a stronger Christian for You? And they apply it. Somebody who's in God's Word every day and they read something and they study something, say, God, help me to use this. They're applying the Word of God in their heart and their life. What's going to happen? They're going to grow. Why? They're abiding in the vine. What's going to happen from that? They're going to produce fruit. What's going to happen for that? They're going to have confidence of their salvation. They're going to have confidence in Christ. They're going to have confidence of who they are as a Christian. If they're abiding in His precepts, in His commands, in His rules, in the Word of God. If I don't do that, if I struggle being where I need to be, I'm going to struggle with the assurance of whom I am. I'm going to struggle with knowing for certain and understanding of who God is in my life. Look again at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now they're abiding, remaining in the vine. that maturity can come. You see, that Christian who is that up and down, in and out, back and forth, they're never going to have the maturity they need to bring forth fruit. They're always going to be spinning their wheels. They're always going to be stuck in the mud, if you will. 1 John 2 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." But the first thing you've got to do, you've got to stay in his word. You've got to be in the word of God. If we hear it and we keep it and we hold to it, then maturity starts to come forth. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 119, 11. Does anyone know what that is? When I say it, you'll know it. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now, again, in our vernacular, the word "hid" there isn't really the best word that the Greek is saying, or excuse me, the Hebrew is saying. You know what it actually is saying? If you store up my word. You see, when we say the word "hide," this is what I think of, right? In our society, we take it and we kind of hide it away. We tuck it away because we want to keep it to ourselves. That's not what God's word's saying. What God's word is saying, we want to take his word and we want to store it up in our life. We want to store it up in our heart. Why? That we don't sin against him. Why? That way when we're tempted, we bring out those things that we've stored up and we're ready to fight. We see that example with Christ whenever Satan comes and tries to tempt him. Three times Satan comes and tries to offer Christ the things that he had no business offering. And three times Christ does what? He refutes him based upon Scripture. You see, that's the principle. That's what we've got to understand. We've got to store up God's Word in our heart. That's why we do the verses of the month. That's why we do these little cards, is to help us in that endeavor, to help us in that challenge, to help us with that commandment of who and how we're supposed to be. You see, the psalmist, as they wrote that, they understood what it meant. They understood who God is. They were confident. They were assured in their relationship with him. I think about Timothy. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Why? To be a workman. To go and serve, to go and do. You see, if we don't first have the studying, we can't go then and do the serving. If we don't know the Word of God, we can't apply the Word of God. We've got to be stayed. We've got to be assured. We've got to be in His Word. Why does God want assurance in your heart today? So you can be a workman. So you can go out and you can share that good news of the gospel. As we abide in his precepts, it proves my love for him. As we abide in his precepts, it helps me have fewer and fewer doubts or hesitation or fear or anything else. And thirdly this morning, abiding in his precepts promotes a loving spirit in my life and with those whom I come in contact with. Never forget, God is what? Love. God is love. He doesn't love. It's who he is. It's literally the persona of God, if you would. Look at verse 12 in John 15. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You say, "Pastor, I struggle loving people." Well, you better watch yourself. You better watch out. Why? God commands us to love. You say, "Well, I really don't like that person." Well, that's one thing, but you better love them. You better count yourself friendly. You better show yourself the love that comes forth from God. Because if you're not, guess what you're doing? You're breaking his commandments. You're not following in the precepts or the promises or what God has instructed us to do, or rather, who he's instructed us to be. We're to show love for people. We should count ourselves friendly. People should want to talk to us and get to know us a little bit. And I get, we're not going to be best friends with everybody. That's not it. Friendship isn't always love. Now, the two definitely connect and coincide, but it's showing that love, that compassion, that desire. I saw something yesterday on Facebook that I wanted to share. We loaded a container of tens of thousands of scripture to go to Malawi, and they just arrived yesterday. Why do we do that? Because we have a love for the people of Malawi. Do we know any of them? I don't. Maybe you do, but I don't. But we love them. We want to see them get the good news of the Word of God. We want to see them receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to have that kind of love for all people. See, someone who is obeying the commandments of the Lord will have a love for one another. Look back in John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, "A new commandment I have given unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." How much did Jesus love us? So much that he died for us. What kind of love do you have for people? We're supposed to love others as much as he loves us. Are you willing to sacrifice something for people? Are you willing to serve God in such a way that what you want or your desires just doesn't matter? You put God first in all things? See, what we need in this country is we need more of God's Word. I believe we need more of God's Word. I think we should placard it everywhere, right? I think everywhere you go should see God's Word on the walls. I think it should be in our schools. I think it should be in our courthouses. It should be everywhere. Why? We need it. We need more of love one another. And I don't mean the ooey-gushy kind of love, but the kind of agape love that God has for us. In 1980, now for you math whizzes, that's 43 years ago. In 1980, the Supreme Court made a decision. They said this. They deemed it unconstitutional, and we cannot post the Ten Commandments in the walls of schools. This is 1980. This isn't last month, last year, or even this last decade, 40 plus years ago. I was born in 79, all right? So I was a little one at this time. Those things don't surprise me, why it's up the world. But listen to their reason, and you can look this up. This is in record. Their reason was this. If the students read them, they might obey them. Mind-boggling, isn't it? If they read the commandments, they might follow them. Listen, kids, they need to read them. Guess what? Adults, we need to read them. Not only do we need to read them, more importantly, we need to obey them. Don't be quick to point judgment and pass judgment and say, that's right, those kids in today, they're nothing but trouble. They need them. Hey, so do we. I believe we need God's Word placarded everywhere. I believe we need God's Word first and foremost in and on our hearts and all over our lives, but where we can see it, where we can read it, where we can be perpetually reminded it. Why? Because our world, guess what, is constantly bombarding us with things of the world. Satan is very happy to take the place if Christians aren't willing to stand up. In your homes, I would challenge you, do you have God's Word anywhere on the walls of your home? I would encourage you, I would challenge you to put it there. You say, which one? Hey, that's between you and the Lord. But it's so important. Why? Maybe. If we read them, we'll start obeying them better. As we abide in the precepts of God's Word, we need to promote a loving spirit back into this nation. We need to promote God's love back into this country. Now again, love is not that gushy emotion. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. That's eros love. That's not what we're talking about. The love we're talking about here is the agape love. The love that we're willing to sacrifice anything for the cause of Christ. Love is the act, the decision of your will to obey God. In order to have a loving spirit, we must abide in the precepts of His Word. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Are you abiding in God's love this morning? You see, there's a lot of surface Christianity today. There's a lot of Christians today where the love, the direction, what we do for God, it's just on the surface. It doesn't go deep. It's not embedded. It's not ingrained in whom we are. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Say, Pastor, I try to. I do. Something that's really hard, and I'll just be transparent as a pastor sometimes, is I see this all the time. And not just in our church, but I mean across the board. Again, we've lived in multiple places and we still have a lot of wonderful connections. But some of those connections sometimes can be very heartbreaking. They can be hurtful. You hear husbands say, I love my wife. I would never do anything. And then they cheat on her. Pastors, they say, oh, I love my pastor. Then they stab him in the back. Their employer, oh, I'm so thankful for my job. I love my job. Then they stab them in the back. You see, Jesus sees our heart. Just as he saw Peter's heart, just as he said to Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? No. Peter, do you love me? Peter keeps saying yes, yes, yes. In Peter's responses, not one time in this record did he respond in agape. Not one time. Now, I believe his love for Jesus changed dramatically. We see that throughout much of the rest of his life. He kept saying, I've got a fondness for you, Lord. You're a good dude, right? We can be brothers. We can hang out. That'll be fine. No. That's not what Jesus wants from him. It's not what Jesus wants from you. It's not what Jesus wants from me. He wants us to love him unconditionally. Guess what? That's the love he has for us. He loves us unconditionally. So much so, again, that he came and he died upon the cross of Calvary for your sin and for mine. That's the love that Jesus was asking for Peter. And listen, that's the love that he's asking of us today. Willing to sacrifice everything for Christ. One last thought I want to share is, do you have a love for people? Do you have a love for people? We should. We just talked about that a moment ago. I want to remind you of this, of who's your one. Say, Pastor, I love people. I want to see people saved. Awesome. A little over a month ago, I gave you a challenge of who's your one. Pick one person. Ask God to give you one person. Lay him on your heart to just pray for him. Just ask him to give that opportunity to share Jesus with them. That opportunity to see souls saved. How's it going? Now listen, I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not. I don't play the guilt game. Right now, if you feel guilty, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you this. If we say we love God and we love people, we better keep his commandments. And there's no greater commandment than us going, telling, teaching, reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. As we obey his word, we prove our love for him. It promotes an assurance in our heart with our relationship with him. We have less doubting. We have more confidence for him. Promoting a loving spirit no matter where we may go or who we're around. And we prove our love for people. But may God help us to abide in his precepts. May God help us to abide in his commandments, his rules for our life. You cannot abide in Christ. You cannot abide in Christ without abiding in the commandments of his word. If you're a convenience store mentality Christian, you're not abiding in Christ. I'm not saying you're not saved. That's not it. What I am saying is you're not obeying. What I am saying is you're not where you need to be. What I'm saying is this, you're not where God longs for you to be. Why? I believe God, when he sees us, he sees the potential each and every one of us have. I believe one day we'll have the opportunity to just stand before God. My heart, my prayer for me is this, that he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My heart and my prayer is that it's not a matter of, you know, you missed so many opportunities. A prayer I have for my own life, and I would encourage you to do the same, is, Lord, don't let a person pass me if it's someone I need to reach out to. Whether it's give them a track, whether it's invite them to church, whether it's just to tell them about Jesus, maybe just say, hey, how's your day going? I can't tell you how many times those simple conversations start so simplistic, and they can turn into something so powerful. But we will not. We will not abide in Christ if we're not abiding in His Word, in His commandments, in what He's got for us. If you want the most out of the Christian life, follow what He has for us. Don't fluff it off. Stop playing church. Love Him with that agape love. Our Father in heaven, thank You so much for the time You've given. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity, the privilege again of being in Your house this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for its instruction. I thank You for the commandments. Even sometimes they're hard, but Lord, they're good for us. Lord, help us, help me to love You with that agape love, the love that is so powerful, so poignant that nothing can get in the way, nothing can distract, nothing can keep me from being where I need to be, abiding in Your commands.